Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving, and I mean it, mightily moving by His Spirit. The Lord is mightily moving, and I love Him. I thank God for the things He just shared with me. God is so merciful. He's so good to us. He loves us so much. And He wants all of His people to be in on what He's doing. We are a body, and the Lord recognizes His body. And He loves every one of us, but He also has to deal with what people choose. And He knows how things are. He knows how we do things. Now, I'm going to tell you something about the Lord. You ever seen a father take his son to play baseball or any sport, really? And he wants his son to shine. He wants his son to do well. Get in the game and enjoy it. You know, the family is there with their coolers, and they, you know, it's a nice, beautiful spring, summer day, you know. And he wants his son to do well. He wants him to hit the ball. And he's just like every father and every parent out there. Mothers, sisters, brothers. They want to see their people do well. And have fun. So does God. So the father is pulling for the son, and everybody knows it. They can hear him, hit it. They can hear him, catch it. They can hear him. And they just like him, so they understand. Now, Paul talked about a cloud of witnesses. And I believe in my heart that he was talking about people looking down from heaven on earth. See, it doesn't surprise me. I believe that earth has been being watched from the beginning. Even, you know, Nebuchadnezzar called the angels watchers. This earth is being watched. And then Paul talked about a cloud of witnesses. So they can see what we're doing. Literally. But God loves his people, and he set us up to be just like Jesus. As he is, so are we in this world. We all have a part to play. And as we grow from glory to glory, we are enabled to do even more. And he'll sanction us to do greater things. But we cannot receive those sanctions, those anointings, undeserving. I know we're washed in the blood, but you have to be willing and obedient. Every time God anointed a person, they were willing and obedient. Many were called. Everybody who received a calling didn't come. You know, Jesus called son, let me go bury my father, my parents, my dad. Jesus, I don't want to misquote it, but he said, if a man put his hands to the plow and look back, he's not worthy of the kingdom of God. Same thing happened to Elisha. Elisha threw his mantle on him and kept walking. Elisha said, let me go bury my parents. What have I done to you? He went and slew them ox that he was plowing with, sacrificed to God, and kept going, following the prophet. Never looked back. Why would God do something like, what is he showing us in this? Some people are obedient and some are not. Now, through tradition, the enemy, every time he gets whooped by the men and women of God, he goes back and try to regroup and figure out how he's gonna make himself look better in the next generation. So, with tradition, he gave man, you know, he activates anything less like him. The tares that are among the wheat. They help set the pace. They help slow the pace of growth. A lot of people cater to weakness. A lot of ministers cater Not just the pastors. That's just a people problem. They cater to people that are very weak. But Jesus said, let your light shine. Be who you are. Speak my word. Speak the word, saith the Lord. Speak the word, saith the Lord. Follow me, saith the Lord. But the compromise has gotten into the heart of men. And, you know, in the early 90s, I talk about this a lot, how he said, the biggest problem in the church is my people don't follow me. The question is why? If he called us to the ministry and we were scared to do it in the first place, like I was, I didn't know what to do. I felt very challenged. And I just found out something about my dad that I didn't know. My sister told me later last week. We all knew that he, now I thought it was China, you know. And I said, yeah, dad liked to drown in China. She said, no, it was India. I said, India? I thought it was China. She said, no, it was Burma. I said, yeah, I remember dad saying that he liked, his favorite war movie was Objective Burma because that's where he was. But I thought that was China. She said, no, that was India. Near China, but it was still India. I said, okay. I didn't know that. And then she told me this. Now see, my sister's older than me. She's 14 years older than me. So, and daddy didn't talk much. That's why I didn't know the details. I'm still finding details out about him. He left this part out. She told me that he fell in a whirlpool. And in that country, no man has ever gotten out of that whirlpool until he walked out of it. And he told her that while he was under the water, God was talking to him. He didn't tell me that. But he told her a long time ago. I didn't know it. And when he did tell me this, when he got out of that water, he went straight to the chapel and started obeying God. He joined World War II because he was running from God. He didn't want to be a preacher. But he was at Sunday school when they bombed Pearl Harbor. But a lady met him on the bus and said, I'm praying for you and you coming back. I believe she told him, God's got to work for you and you coming back. All right. And he did tell me that. But this also happened. She said that the villagers of that place, wherever he fell in that whirlpool, when he got out of the water, they were so surprised. They started bowing down to him. You know, in India, I know that they'll worship anything. I know daddy wouldn't like that because I wouldn't like it either. But he was probably terrified, shocked, and he went straight to the chaplain. He started preaching. So he's been a preacher since 1945. Actually, he was called way before that. He was born in 1920. So I was born in 1963, so daddy was preaching way before I came on the scene. And I was raised by older parents that just love God. And I've seen them do some interesting things. Now, when I received the faith message, you know, I was going to a holiness church when I started listening to the faith message, the word of faith message. And I was always blessed by it. And I wanted to learn to know God. I didn't care what church it was. I don't care who it is. If they love God and they're talking, they're his spokesman, I'm going to listen and retain what I hear to the best of my ability. And God helped me do even better. That was always my attitude from the moment I got saved. So I talk about Mom Powell a lot. She's the reason. She's the first person that talked to me about what God said to her. And that's why I ended up going to a holiness church. Now, if I had known that the Lord was talking to my parents, I probably would have started seeking them more and praying more. But I learned a lot of beautiful things and unusual things at holiness church. And I had a teaching pastor, Elder Lewis, and he was sincere. He gave up a good job to come to a city where he had no kin and start a ministry. And in my opinion, it was very successful. But it wasn't as financially strong as it should have been, but we did a lot of things that was good. A lot of things happened that was good and bad. I learned a lot of things. I talk about it. You know, the challenges, we're not without challenge. And so when people fail, I learned from it, but not in a blaming way. And I see good people do things, make decisions. And when people make decisions without regarding God in their decision-making process, they're going to have trouble. That's just how it is. And my heart would ache because I knew that it could be better, especially when God gave me revelation in the early 90s. Now, I'm saying all this to say this. The reason things got to the point that God had a big problem with his people following him, that's the question, how did this happen? Ever since Peter said this is that, ever since the apostles started preaching, they had opposition. People, the world didn't just sit back and watch. The religious world stirred up the world against God. You know, I know some things about history, how the Roman Catholic Church, it married the church. It tried to blend paganism and Christianity. But there are some devout Catholic people, just like there are those that are superstitious. And the Methodist Church, most of the churches have, the Catholic Church has influenced every church in some form or fashion. Because we still have some of their traits, good and bad. Now you can trace sin back to a starting point, just like you could with Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. He put something in motion that every king of Israel after him sinned after his style. So how did it get to where people didn't embrace following God fully? Now they'll do the word, they'll stick to formats as much as possible, but see the guidance of the Holy Spirit. If you try to do what Jesus said only by the word and not consulting the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you won't be fully equipped. Because the Holy Spirit, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. See, the word tells us what to do. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Okay, we know that we're going to do that. But see, if you do that without the strategy of the Holy Spirit, you're going to run into some problems that you won't be able to solve. And that's the problem. Now, that's a problem. That's one of the main problems. The Holy Spirit, you know you got to go into all the world, preach the gospel. But he'll tell you what school to go to. Now, I noticed the wisest men of God, they went and got trained. Now, I didn't do like some of the wisest men that I know. I didn't go to Rhema or ORU. The people that did, they're very wise for finishing a course and getting instruction, especially when they stuck to the protocols of the Holy Spirit. But the Lord showed me something. He took me a different route. I would have went. I did ask, but he gave me a route. He said, it's my perfect will for you to have your own business. And I would work and see people in everyday life. And I saw. See, I come from good parents, godly parents, loving home, good neighborhood, for the most part anyway. I've seen people work hard. They work for what they got. They kept their yards nice. It was a new community. I grew up in a new home. We were the only family that ever lived in that house in Roslyn Heights before the airport bought it. Nobody, you know, brand new house. Moved there in 1966. I'm 3 years old when we moved. So I grew up kind of sheltered, you know. But when I started working for myself, I started seeing another side of adults that I hadn't seen before. And the Lord let me see what was going on. At the same time, I'm going to church and seeing miracles. People getting healed and blessed all kind of ways at this holiness church. Hearing about miracles. Excited about it. We used to go to every Friday night. We wanted to do something for God so much that we would clean the church every Friday night and then go bowling. And it helped us stay out of trouble. It helped us do something for God. We would wash the baptism pool, vacuum the floors, clean the pews, and then we'll go out and get something to eat. We didn't have much money to work with either, but we did it. We paid for what we did. Some of them didn't even have cars. I'd pick everybody up that didn't have a car. And some had cars, some didn't. But we did it. And the guys that did this, they're pastoring now, see. See, God is good, folks. I've seen good-hearted people get challenged, and they have successes and failures. But they get back up and keep moving. Now, when the Lord showed me this, he taught me many things about following God. But he always gave me a protocol. Some things I couldn't teach unless they asked. If they didn't ask, I was forbidden to talk about it. Now, why would God do something like that? Because he wanted the people that received this kind of knowledge to be totally sincere. Because if you can't take revival knowledge and just give it to anybody, you have to give it. God, you know, I learned this from the Lord. You have to, if you watch what Jesus did, he spoke parables to those that are without. He taught his disciples by example. But he didn't break the parables down unless they asked. Some things he didn't give them until they asked for it. So, the Lord was looking for people he could give a greater anointing to. And all these men of God he sent me to, they had been very faithful. So, don't think that I'm downplaying them. They did greater works than I did at the time. I was just getting started. They had been in the ministry much longer. But the Lord gave me an assignment to share with them the need and the necessity of following God. And he gave me all kind of revelation. I felt out of place. But I had the vow that I would obey God. I kept seeking the Lord. I did everything God told me to. He would give me a word at home. I didn't know some of these pastors personally. I just listened to them on the radio. But when he sent me to them, I would write down what God had for me to hand them, to give them. And I didn't type in those days, so it was handwritten. I write very sloppy, but I wrote it very neat, that it was legible. I get to the church, and this happened everywhere I went. They would be preaching what I wrote, some of it. Or it would be written in the style of how they preach. So they had a reference. And sometimes I had a written word and a spoken word. Sometimes a written word. Sometimes instructions, just a spoken word. But some things I couldn't share unless they asked. And I tried to help them out. But that didn't work. If they had asked questions, God was going to give them so much more. And I didn't understand all the things I learned later. See, some of the things that he told me was about prosperity. Sometimes there are some areas you can't prosper in unless you're obedient. And if people had known that, they probably would have sought him, because most people did want prosperity in those days. Not for bad reasons either, for good reasons. So the Lord did a lot of things to, he would only give this kind of knowledge to, you know, it's just like Jesus taught the babes. They come back rejoicing. The 70 returned rejoicing. Hey, even the demons are subject to it. They was happy and excited. And Jesus rejoiced. He said, many kings and prophets have desired to see the things you see and did not see them. He said, but nevertheless, don't rejoice because you have authority over demons and devils. but rejoice because your name is written in heaven. See, God wants people to be thoroughly sincere. First. God is very serious about casting pearls before swine. Even people that will not understand holy, how to handle holy things. If you can get in trouble by the way you handle holy things. We handle holy things. We handle the covenants of God. And people are relying on us. So if you blend tradition with this kind of knowledge, you can make a bigger mess. God will have a crop of people that don't know, that don't understand the seriousness of following him. So he gave me, he taught me things, and after a while he stopped sending me to pastors at all. And I said, well, I didn't understand. He didn't give me those protocols anymore. But he did tell me this. He said, it's better if they follow me now, but if they don't, I'm going to raise up people that will. But they won't be as educated. So I really wanted them to follow him. And I'm seeing now, he really did raise up people that will follow him. But he kept teaching me those principles. That's why we do heart to heart. All the revelation since 1990, he's been giving me. It's mounting up. He never stopped. And I'm sharing it here. This is why. God wants people, he's preparing people to do things they normally couldn't do. Now, if anybody's listening and they didn't follow through with that visitation, they didn't follow God when they should have. And, the Lord, I was so thankful the Lord told me this today. If you missed it years ago, you missed out on prime opportunity. You can't have that. That ship has sailed. If you didn't make that Rebecca choice, that faithful Rebecca choice way back then, that's not going, that vision's over. It's not going to happen. But if you're listening now and you still want to do the will of God thoroughly in your life, if you follow God now, if you learn these things now, if you apply yourself now, God will work with you, and he'll give you something great to do now. And I thank God for that. I said, Lord, I said, what if the pastors, and I named a few of them, two of them. He knew who I was talking about anyway. I said, what if they start following you now? Will they still be able to do that vision? He said, no. I said, why? He said, they wasted too much training time. That's why I say that ship has sailed. You didn't get on board with what God was doing. It's over. It can't happen. Now, one of those pastors went on to be with the Lord. One of them still alive. But God got great things in store if you follow him now. And remember, they that are active just before Jesus returned, they're going to get the same reward as those that have been in the field all along being faithful. So it's very important to draw near to the Lord now. Let go of the tradition of being self-willed, self-determined, and learn to yield to him. I'm not just saying this as an apostle or a minister. I'm saying this as a friend. You're going to wish you had done this. You're going to wish you had followed him fully, not partially. And you're going to wish that you followed him perfectly, not just permissively. God is so good. He'll permit you to do something you really want to do, even if it's not quite as perfect will. But you're going to wish you had done the perfect will of God. I know it. There are many people in heaven, they wish they could come back and do the Lord's perfect will. And you don't know how to organize it. You don't know how to orchestrate it. All you can do is trust God and obey him. Now, when I asked the Lord back in, 1984, it was 80, may have been 85. I know where I was standing. I was working at Jim McGill Chevrolet, and I had parked a car. I was going back to get some more keys and park some more cars before I was a mechanic there. And I didn't like how I wanted to be further along than I was at that point in my life. And I said, Lord, take my life and do something with it. Don't let my, I was saying, don't let my life go average. I want to do something for you now. Take my life and do something with it. I'm not doing a good job. I'm not where I want to be. I feel like I failed. I did finish auto mechanic school, but I didn't have the job I wanted. I was supposed to go back and take business while I worked. My plans wasn't working right. What I had planned to do wasn't working right, but I didn't know it, but the Lord's hand was on my life. I said, Lord, take my hand, my life. Take my life and do something with it. Now, I started watching the Victory Channel, and Gloria Copeland said the same thing. When you yield to God like that, he will do it. That's all he wants, a willing vessel. Now, years went by. In 88, the Lord gave me wisdom. I said, Lord, I needed this a long time ago. Why didn't you show me this? He said, he told me this, and it really woke me up. It really did wake me up. He said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn my ways. I said, what else am I missing out on? And that's when I gave him a serious vow. I was very serious with it. I said, Lord, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. Whether I love it or hate it, like it or dislike it, I'm going to obey you. And I meant it from my heart. And some years went by. That was 88. In 90, he started training me. In 91, he started sending me to these pastors. And I said, why am I giving them a word? I'm just getting started. I just got called to the ministry in 87. They've been in ministry longer than me. I don't need to be giving them a word. I fell out of place. But God told Jeremiah, don't say you're a child. If God gives you something, it's already sanctioned. Well thought. Let me tell you something about when God gives you something to do. He evaluates everything. He know how people are going to respond. He know what people need. If you let him train you, to your surprise, he'll start telling you what to do. And this means two things. This means that you passed some tests somewhere. You took time and you trained well enough to at least begin a great work of God. See it through. Just see it through. If you're doing things for the Lord and you're sincere, stick with what he say precisely. Don't try to make it more than it is. And don't try to downplay it. Just do exactly what he say do. He will compensate you. Sometimes I teach things and I'm not an expert at it. It came by the will and determination of the Holy Spirit. He just used me as a vessel. I have to go back, and I listen to the broadcast, and I say beautiful things, but I know for a fact it didn't come from my mind. And I ask the Lord to teach me, how does this work? And I could give you examples, but to save time, I'm gonna keep moving. Now, my pastor in January, he said that he gave a beautiful message. You can watch it on YouTube, Victory Christian Fellowship on YouTube. He talked about the double portion anointing. Still on YouTube. You can see what I saw. Now, I'm doing some of these broadcasts, and more and more, the Lord is speaking. I didn't know which way I was going to go, but it just come together perfectly. And the Lord had me saying things I never thought about. Not in the way that I'm teaching it. And I'm learning and growing in the wisdom of God myself. And sometimes he'll put the protocols he taught me years ago in my heart and help me share. See, God does things. Everything he does is out of the spirit of love, the spirit of holiness, and the spirit of wisdom. So he evaluates everything. He see around us. He see through time. He prepares us for people. Sometimes we pass the test we need to, and it's time for him to introduce the right people that are not tares in our ministry, in our lives, and we're supposed to help them grow and become useful for the purpose he has somewhere else or with us. So he'll use us to share with people things that they need so that they can go out and start a great move of God too. So if you're looking at just the church you're at and valuing your ministry based on what you see, it's incomplete. You got to have the God's eye view sees everything and everyone, even people you forgot that you knew or people that you ministered to years ago. They don't just forget what you say. They teach their children. They teach your influence goes further than just a generation that you know. It goes everybody that heard you. People on the radio that you don't know on this side are blessed by what you see. See the God's eye view. So you got to be, the anointing works sometimes it has a jurisdiction. You have to be at a certain place at the right time to utilize it to the right people. And so ministry don't always look as good as others. But you can't go by what you see. You got to go by what God says. And we love to see something and hear something, make sure I'm on the right track. I love it, but I know that's inaccurate. As the Lord told me, as long as you do what I say, you're all right. And I made a confession out of it. I said, as long as I obey the Lord, I'm all right. As long as I do what he say, I'm okay. As long as I love his people, walk in his word, and love everyone, as long as I do what he say, I'm all right. I made a Charles Capps confession out of that. And sang it, and it helped me be strong. Now I'm out of time. The Lord is not. He'll continue to move in throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ.